The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I live for that moment where it's,
You feeling good? You feeling good or what?
I couldn't be better.
52 degrees outside.
51.
Wow.
Yeah, everything's melting.
I love it.
If we could get 5 days in a row of 50 degrees, my driveway might actually exist.
I love it.
I'm not going to see my driveway literally till mid-April.
I believe you.
Oh, my gosh.
What's terrible is now the snow melts and you got to pick up all the dog poop.
Well, you would know.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
Because you don't
pick it up anyways.
Up, do you?
No. I just wait till the spring.
Oh, that's gross.
You're that guy in the neighborhood.
I got an email from the neighbor going, can you pick up the dog poop? It's kind of icky. I'm like, okay. Yes, I've.
You should, because people in my complex don't do that, and I'm ready to report all of them.
Wow. Gosh, you're so mean. No,
it's disgusting.
Well, it's my...
And it's unhealthy.
Well,
so
it's
you
my
don't have
property.
You don't have one of those pooper scoopers when you walk your
dog?
I do,
but it's a little cold outside.
Well, so what? Isn't it easier to scoop when it's frozen?
No, I just put it on one of those leashes and let it go out itself so it can't run away.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy.
Wow, I've heard
I'm
about
that guy
you.
What? I'm that guy when I'm cold and sick out. I don't go outside. I let the dog go out itself. Yes,
so
I'm that guy.
You, this great athlete, can't walk around the block one time? That's what you're telling me?
Not in the winter.
Yeah, that's what you're
saying. My wife and I have a deal. She walks the dogs on anything less than 60 degrees. I take over it at 60 and above. Fair enough.
So in other words, you'll start walking the dog in May.
June.
June.
June and July. Maybe it gets into August and then she takes back over.
So I take it as soon as the snow goes away, then you're just going to make the rounds and clean up all the poop.
I started today. I had to get I had a whole trash can full.
Oh, God, you are just gross.
What's wrong?
I feel
you?
Like I live on a horse farm. Unbelievable. By the way, thanks to everybody that came out to the City Sports Grill.
Oh, yeah.
Had a good time last night. Not as crowded as usually is because of course, Valentine's Day, but still a good time. And we had at least a good number of different teams come out.
Was there any romance in the air?
No, not. Well, there was one group of four guys hitting on a group of three girls. They were kind of, I was checking them out. They were kind of making eyes at each other and talking to each other.
Well, not necessarily romance.
Yeah, well, they were hitting on each other, I could tell. Yeah.
If the guys had any game, they would just know to go to you because you hooked up Jason anybody.
Yeah, pretty much. just come to me and I'll just hook you up.
So really?
I was like Cupid yesterday. Yeah, exactly.
Did Aaron go?
No, I didn't see intern Aaron.
He's not intern anymore.
Graduate intern Aaron. No, I didn't see him yesterday.
I thought he was going to go. He backed out?
He backed out. Did not show
up. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't show up because I wanted to watch the Celtics game. What a mistake that was.
You know, they have TVs at Trivia.
Yeah, they do. I don't know if you know that, Rich.
They're new. They just
do
put
have
them in.
Them.
Yeah, really?
By the way,
had 74 of them there last time I was there.
I threw this by the guys. I'm like, hey, we should go out to Anaheim to go see the Red Sox play against the Angels. What is it? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
mid-April.
Like, what, 15th, 16th, 17th?
Something like that.
Within that week. I'm like, we should go out for a week, stay at my brother's place, get like three free round-trip tickets from JetBlue.
Okay. And are you going to make this happen?
I'll make it happen. And then I called the Angels. I just remember I picked
it.
And the president answered.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with
him. This is Arnie.
We're looking up stuff for to talk about on the show at 3:15, and all of a sudden.
I'm going to call the president of the Angels.
Hello, my name is Arnie Spanier. Yeah. I mean, who are you talking to?
And guess what? He says he's got us totally covered with the tickets. For all the games. So, no, I'm serious.
No, but I mean, you're that guy. You're the one that just...
That
comes
doesn't
up
clean up the
idea.
Dog poop. And
right, no, the dog poop thing, clearly you don't want anything to do with.
Right.
But when you get an idea in your head, instead of, asking around maybe if that's the right thing, you just get on the phone.
But
you make it happen. That's impressive.
Yeah, but Brady actually wants to go to the games, right?
Yes, of course.
So do I. It's the Red Sox.
Mike Trout, Otani, the Red Sox.
I want to go to the beach.
Not one person wants to see you on the beach.
I want to frolic on the beach and have a good... And have a good time. You guys just want to go to the baseball.
I've seen you frolic on the basketball courts, and that's enough.
No, but I mean,
he frolics every time the other team has the ball.
Rich,
right?
Don't you want to go out clubbing?
Yes.
Like the Rainbow Club and Hollywood and all that stuff.
People wearing 19 pounds of makeup? No.
Well, you eat
In-N-Out
Burger till we gain like 50 pounds?
Okay, that'll do.
Yes.
What
yeah,
I want to
sure.
do.
Carl's Jr. Yeah.
You know what I want to do?
No, not Carl's Jr.
In-N-Out Burger and Carl's Jr. and El Pollo Loco.
Well, that's all right.
What I want to do is be the tourist. I want to go to like the taping of shows in Burbank.
Oh, that is so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
I want to see how that works.
We should take some of the listeners with us, too.
I could not be more bored thinking about watching a show get done.
Right? Wow. You see, I could be more bored if I have to go to baseball for a whole week then.
Well,
oh, my goodness.
To go. I want to see all those shows.
Let me tell you, Universal Studios is better than Disneyland. If you've never been to Universal, that place is awesome.
I want to go to Disneyland, and I want to go to West Hollywood and eat at Fat Sal's Deli.
Fat Sal's Deli is good.
Yes.
Yeah, Fat Sal's is
That's
very good.
The turtle from Entourage, that's his restaurant.
We'd have so much fun. Well, actually, when the show was done at 3, you guys could do what you want, and I'll just...
I'm clinging with you. I'm clinging on to you, man, because there's no way I'm hanging out by myself near L.A.
Yeah, we'll go to the beach. I'll take you to Hollywood.
We'll go to
Disneyland. We'll go to Universal.
To the beach with you if you promise to keep your shirt on.
No promises.
Okay, and then I'm not going.
Then because of the time change, you all will be in bed by 8, and then... I can have some fun after.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because the game's end at 10. I'm like, that's awfully late for us, Rich. I don't know. What are we going to do? That's awfully late.
Speak for yourself.
And my brother only lives like 5 minutes from the ocean. And you know what? He lives 30 seconds from where Harrison Ford crashed the plane onto the golf course.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that we've got that
Maybe
going
we'll
for
do
ourselves.
It again when we go out there. But I love the way you just... You don't even ask. You just start making calls.
I'll start making calls. Who... by the way, have you ever had... Well, you've never been out to Los Angeles.
Except last year to sit in a traffic jam for 3 hours.
But have you ever run into like a celebrity, actor, not an athlete, but an actor or anything like that?
No, just rock stars, a lot of them.
Just rock stars?
Yep. A lot of them backstage.
Oh, yeah, but not just driving around or anything like that?
No, I don't walk by and, oh, hey, look, there's Harrison Ford on Church Street. No.
Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, I once saw at a hotel.
Wow, you guys got to go live life a little bit. You know what I mean? You guys got to go ahead and
look at Radio Row.
You know what's so funny? You could be our chaperone.
But every time like I run into an actor or something in Los Angeles, I'll call them by their TV name.
Mm.
You know, and they hate that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Do they? Oh, and I get a kick out. Oh, they hate that. And I'm like, don't be so insulted. I wouldn't even know your damn name if I didn't call you by your TV name.
Hey, Beth, it's Kramer. Yeah. Beth, that's Kramer.
What's wrong with that, though?
I'm sure he loves that.
What is wrong with that?
You know, when I was at the Super Bowl in San Francisco, again, it's the Super Bowl, so everyone's kind of built into the area, but I was at a diner more than a half hour away from the stadium, and there was Coldplay, who was singing the anthem, or doing the halftime show, and the rapper T.I., where they were all in there. So Coldplay and T.I. and me were eating breakfast
together. Did you insult them or yell anything?
No, I said, T.I., big fan.
Okay, said that.
Did you ask Chris Martin what the hell happened to his band after the second album?
Is that Coldplay?
Yes.
No. Ugh. You don't like Superman?
No.
That's Five for Fighting. Superman is Vita...
Vita Loca or whatever.
That's
it's
Ricky
called.
Martin.
Whatever it's called.
Vita
that was
La
the
Vida.
End of Coldplay as you as
Matt wants
it.
To know what rock stars you're talking about. He just on the Town Fair Tire text line.
Who, for me?
Yeah.
That you. Just oh, it's just all backstage stuff in my previous job.
Gosh.
Well, give names.
Know.
Name names.
Oh, guys from Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Yes and the Rolling Stones.
Dude, you really got to go. You got
to
look at
I didn't say anything to them. I just sat there and looked at them.
How could you not say anything to them?
They don't want to talk to me. I don't care about them either. I'm not that autograph. I'm not a fanboy type.
It was your job, though.
Not really.
So then why were you there?
I was just there.
You're just there.
Yeah, I mean, I said hi, love the new album. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
They don't want to talk to me.
No, you got to insult them a little bit. They like that. Seriously, they love when you do stuff like that. You know, like I used to play basketball with Michael Keaton, Batman, before he was Batman. Yeah. I'd throw some insults at him.
Well, the only time I ever
insulted
him...
Don't give up your acting gig, buddy. You ain't going to cut it. You know, you're not very good.
The only time, and I've told this story, so I hate to do it again, but the only time I've ever insulted a rock star was Dennis DeYoung of Styx telling him his new album sucked, and that's why nobody knew when he played it at Memorial Auditorium, why no one knew the words. I said, they don't know the words because we don't play it.
Wow.
And he attacked me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun.
I could see that being fun a little bit. Brady, I'm surprised. Your parents, they were from L.A. I can't believe you...
When I was at an Applebee's with my mom, Ken Griffey Jr.'s wife was in there eating next to us.
How would you even know that?
I didn't. My mom did it because she had a giant 24 gold necklace on.
Oh, that would give it away.
Yeah.
That would give it away. I don't. You know, some of them are real cool. Some of them you can go up to, you approach. They're really, nice guys and stuff like that, and some just have the biggest attitude you'd ever want to go ahead and see your life.
Yeah, but
it's
so
disgusting.
Much of it is how you approach them,
yeah.
too.
Oh, absolutely.
It really is. That's why I just leave them alone.
Absolutely. I mean, like, if they're dinner with the family, yeah. you want to leave them alone. If you're playing basketball with them at the park, it's a whole different
Although,
story.
Then there's a guy like Steven Tyler, who I brought the entire family up as he's trying to have breakfast in Marshfield, Massachusetts 3 years ago, and we just basically ruined the entire experience.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he could not have been a nicer, more
oh,
gracious
you see,
person.
That's totally cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
What
I,
if somebody came up to you? How would you be?
Oh, I'm totally a diva.
Yeah. No, you'd totally probably say, would you like an autograph? And they'd say, of course not.
Are you sure, buddy? You sure you want an autograph? You sure that's what you want? All right, lots going on. Real busy show. Lots happening. Brady, what's coming up on the show today?
Well, tomorrow we broadcast live from the First Republic Brewery
yes.
in Essex, the Winter Craft Brew Tour. We kick that off. We've got barbecue coming in. They usually do pizza and a pint on Friday. The money raised, a dollar of every beer bought, is going to go to the SOAR Foundation to benefit veterans. So come on and hang out tomorrow at 4. As for today, Michael Jannetty of SpotTrack, who they keep track of every payroll, team payroll and every player contract in all of sports, that guy who runs that site, he's joining us in 10 minutes. Big deal, little deal, no deal, 4:35. Our daily spring training update, Mark Kesicher, the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio nice. At 5:20. But first, the Celtics go into the All-Star break not very good. They've lost three straight.
Awful.
They lost three straight, but what bothers me is it doesn't even make a difference had they not lost three straight or gone through, what, 500 and how many games it is now that, or whatever it is. It's just like all of a sudden Cleveland wins two games. That's all the sampling size you need, and they're the best team in the Eastern Conference all of a sudden all over again. But there's no doubt. Injuries, the youngsters hitting a wall. They're not gelling on all cylinders like they did at the beginning of the year. The way they started the year was absolutely tremendous. They've hit a rough part right now. The schedule with the Celtics.
Look, if you told me they were going to hit the All-Star break at 40-19,
insane.
I would have been very, very happy with that. But this is a team that won what 15-16 in a row at the beginning of the season. So you kind of got your hopes up, and it's a kind of a market correction, as I said yesterday. And Brad Stevens kept saying that last night after the game. He says he's thinking about tweaking the lineup a little bit, but he talked about this is about the high end of the team that we expected it would be. I mean, I don't think 40-9, if you look at the big picture, you've got to be happy, but they were awful last night.
Well, at this point, I mean, look at that defense, 129 points yesterday. This is the number one defensive team in the league, and it's hard to believe that here we are talking about Marcus Smart making a really big difference on this team. I mean, in the 11 games without Smart, their last 11, they're 6-5. Their defensive rating has gone down to 9th in that time from 1st. Their rebounding percentage is down to 17th from 13th, and their effective field goal defense is 22nd from 16th. Marcus Smart makes a difference, and here's the funny thing. Here's the ironic thing. Everyone bags on Marcus Smart's offense.
Yeah.
Well, in the 48 games with Marcus Smart, they are, let's see here, 20th in offensive rating. In the 11 games with Adam, they're 20th in offensive rating. So he doesn't hurt the offense as much as you think.
And
it does.
Rich, we can't get on the air fast enough to talk about how bad his shot is, and we don't want him to shoot the ball.
Right.
And we get disgusted every time he puts it up there.
But that's the only part of his game we don't like, at least that I don't like.
No, Brady told you, saying it doesn't make a difference. Yeah. At least statistically, it doesn't make a difference. I don't know. Look, I didn't say they weren't going to miss him on some other aspects of his game, but I don't think that's the sole reason why they've hit a wall. I mean, is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's just part of it. You are right. Jason Tatum has struggled lately.
It seems like 10, 15 games now or whatever it is. I don't know.
In the 16 games since games since the Celtics went to London, so since their schedule started getting heavy again, he's had 5 single-digit scoring games and has thrown in another 4 with 11 or less. So we're looking at 9 of the last 16 games, he's been 11 points or less.
And he just can't make his shots. He went 4-13 last night. He had 10 points. And between him and Brown yesterday, they went 8-25. I mean, I don't know if it's a wall or what it is, but the two kids have sort of disappeared, and they've also disappeared defensively. It's been a struggle for them. But it's so funny because they get Greg Monroe, and you heard me talking about what a great addition I thought that was going to be. They had no answer for DeAndre Jordan last night. It was ridiculous. The plan was so simple. Bring the ball up, throw it down low, and Jordan will stuff it. And he had 30-13, I think, was his final total. I don't think he missed more than a couple of shots the whole night. And that was a huge problem last night, and Monroe doesn't seem to be the answer, although they're working him in slowly. I think he only played about 10 minutes, but I don't know if Baines is the problem down low or what it is, but nobody played well except Kyrie last night.
Well, the problem is what we've said it is. Smart's not there to help the defense. Tatum now is being taken out of the offensive rhythm. You're just not – you don't have that second score. Right now, the Celtics are a marginally better version of what they were exactly last year. You have a guy who can do whatever he wants with the ball and score at will, at point guard, like just like they did last year. And then you have a cast of characters that are supposed to be playing good defense to help out that one score. Celtics don't have that good defense over the last 2 weeks.
What happens when they get Gordon back? I mean, you know, we're saying all this without him. And that's really not fair because he's a starter and probably the second most, third most important guy on this team, well, behind Kyrie, so that they were counting on. And now to go 40-19, can you lose it? Tell me another team that would lose a possible 20-game a score and whatever assist he's going to give you. And not even blink and go out to a 40-19 record. Yeah. I don't know too many teams that could have done that.
No, the problem here is it's definitely a what have you done for me lately situation. And I mean, they've been awful the last couple of weeks. And I think that's what everybody's looking at right now. And everybody's saying, all right, it's all-star break, time to tweak things. I mean, for Brad Stevens to get in front of the microphone and say we might tweak something, that's a big story. I don't think I've ever heard him say that. What do you think they do? I mean, you put Rozier in the starting lineup for a couple of games, maybe?
I wouldn't go Rozier. I think maybe it's play Monroe more.
You know what? I want to get more into the Celtics. We'll get more in that a little bit. But first, Brady, tell everybody what's coming up next, because I know we got a lot of interviews coming up today.
Yeah, Michael Jannetty, he runs SpotTrack. It is the site that keeps track of every team payroll, every individual salary, and we use it all the time. I got to know how this guy does it.
Every nickel and dime? Every nickel and dime? Boy, my wife would love this guy. She always wants to know what I'm spending my money on. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's 52 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. You know, later on in the show, maybe I'll tell you my brush with greatness when I ran into Flava Flav. I don't know if you know that. So, no, I'm serious.
We use the word greatness loosely on this
show. Oh, okay. Well, if I have to shoot bigger, I'll shoot bigger. I'm sorry about Flava that. But Flav. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, I'm very interested about his company. It's called SpaTrack. His name is Mike Jannetty. He is in charge. And, of course, Mike, first of all, tell everybody exactly what your website's about.
Sure. So We built SpotTrack about 8 years ago now, and it's really just a system that tracks all the financial information for the major sports. We're tracking contracts and salaries and salary cap information and free agency and things like that, and that's kind of blossomed over the past few years.
Now, you get all the information, the numbers and all that from the team itself. They have to make this public, so you get eventually it trickles on down to you, or how do you get all the information?
No, it's sort of a scatter of reports and things that I'm confirming behind the scenes with some people that I've been able to make sources over the years, but it's been a kind of a slow burn in getting that to happen, and we're at a pretty good point with that now.
Mike, for somebody who took Introduction to Mathematics 3 times just to finish college, this is an amazing endeavor to me. What in the world inspired you to start something like this? It sounds like it could be very complicated.
Yeah, it was one of those really bad questions about, you know, how much does this guy make and how much does this guy make, that turned into a really, really big math problem and a lot of work. So it was really just interest in the financials of players. I mean, this time of year around free agency, it was kind of an unknown as to who had what to spend and who was going to be the big players. And really, I was just kind of looking for a way to document that. And I started to, you know, realize that there were a lot of more people who had this kind of interest, and, you know, it was something that I could make public and kind of create a community for. So it was a simple idea that's turned into a really big lot of work process.
Mike, we use your site all the time. Like every day we're on your site verifying things and checking things out. Do you ever get messages from teams saying they use your site, or do you ever get things from teams that say, no, your site is wrong, his contract's really this way?
Both often, actually. It's been a neat experience to kind of see different people have different angles and viewpoints to it. Obviously, we've had, you know, players and teams and agents and things like that reach out with interest, with, you know, can you take a look at this? And it's been kind of neat to gain a reputation where people ask me to evaluate players and evaluate situations and my thoughts on, you know, free agency and things like that. But yeah, I've had agents call and write and say, hey, you got a number off here, or you're dead wrong here, or things like that. And luckily I'm at a point now where, you know, they'll actually kind of help me with that information and make sure that I've got it right, so that, you know, people like you and the general public aren't looking at bad information.
Let me ask you, what about some of the people, you know, contracts that are still being paid out to people that haven't played in a long, long time? Like a Bobby Bonilla, you know, we hear about that, getting $1 million every year from now until like the next 100 years or something. You know, give us some of those contracts like that. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in baseball. Baseball is the king of deferred money, right? Because it's a luxury tax system, right? So anytime you can move salary around to kind of keep yourself under that luxury tax point, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Bobby Bonilla, basically, it was pay me $8 million now, or pay me, you know, $40 million over the next 25 years kind of situation. So, and really, like I said, that's becoming common, even with these major, major deals. Like Max Scherzer's got a situation like that. Yu Darvish has that with his new deal. It's common. And if you're a player, it's a home run. You know what I mean? You can take a little bit less right now to make sure that you're paid, yeah, $1 million a year for, you know, the foreseeable future. It's a no-brainer, and it's really just to benefit the team's tax payroll.
I think there was like an old Celtic, or maybe like Ernie DiRigori, I don't know if you remember him, was getting like money for like the longest time after he retired in the NBA. You'd see a few of those in the NBA.
Yeah, it's common. It's the kind of thing where that's difficult for me to actually lock down the actual tax payments.
Uh-huh.
But when I do, I really enjoy finding that stuff out when I do, because, like I said, it's kind of the story writes itself when you're talking about like about Bobby Bonilla or a Brett Saberhagen who are still making payments right now.
Brett Saberhagen, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, now, Mike, I mean, did you see when you got into this ever the day where it's not even about humans, especially in the NBA as far as trades go? It's about this expiring contract for a player to be named later and another expiring contract?
Yeah, so this is the toughest part for me, right? Because I'm a sports fan. I love a ton of sports. And being this close to the business side of it, it sort of made me robotic. You know what I mean? Like it's taken the element of this guy's a player with a family and a life, and just kind of thrown me into the role of, well, his contract's done, so he's worthless to current team, and is gonna So it's put me in a position where I sort of had to be that robotic guy that says, well, you know, the business side of this says that he doesn't belong here anymore, and that's a bad move because, you know, he's not worth that kind of money. And there's a lot of negatives when you're talking about money in sports, but, you know, it's an interesting way to look at it, really, when you're not just, you know, an uneducated fan kind of watching and throwing things at the TV, you know what I mean?
Mike Gennetti, you run SpotTrack, which is a site that keeps track of every team payroll, every individual salary, and we use it all the time when he's here with us on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Look, I go to your site every day, but I just discovered that you guys have a podcast. So what exactly gets discussed on the podcast? Because I'm a big-time sports nerd, so if you're going to crunch numbers with me, I might just start listening every day.
Yeah, it's a lot of nerdy stuff, right? I've been super reluctant to do it because of that, because it's really hard to talk numbers without putting people to sleep. But we've tried to find a way to make it interesting and sort of, you know, lay things out in a way that I write an article that sort of correlates to what we're going to talk about, so you can always reference something that I've written, and we sort of go back and forth based on that. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun doing it. It's tough to find people to talk this kind of shop to, you know what I mean?
Because, I'll bet.
People hate math, and they kind of phase out when they hear numbers that get thrown around this much, but we've had a pretty good following and a lot of support, so I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Mike, let me ask you this one, because this is Patriots country, this is Giants country, so we're focused heavily here on free agent, and the Giants might release Brandon Marshall, and we don't know what's going to happen with Gronk. Can you explain to our audience how exactly a cap hit works in the NFL? Because it's one of the terms that's always out there that I don't know if it has a clear definition to most people.
Yeah, the NFL contract system is really, really complicated, and it's one of the reasons that I think SpotTrack is successful, because we've been able to sort of lay this out in a way that I hope is understandable, at least more understandable than I think people might not have information to prior to. Here's the long and short of a cap hit. Basically, there's two elements of a contract. There's cash and there's cap. Cash is, here's your salary every 2 weeks, this is what you're going to get paid. But along with that comes a bunch of bonuses. So really, the long and short is, in a given year, it's the salary plus any bonus, whether that's spread out or not, across the board, A plus B plus C equals the cap hit for that year. So where the contract gets interesting is when you talk about things like signing bonuses. So for instance, let's just take Jimmy Garoppolo's contract. He had a 5-year contract. He got a $7 million signing bonus. That $7 million, in terms of the salary cap, gets spread out over the 5 years equally. So that's a way that teams can actually manipulate their salary cap on a yearly basis. Is you can take a bonus and move it across different years. That's different from the salary, which hits 1 year, obviously.
Right.
So there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on, and I'm happy to answer any of those questions on Twitter and email and things like that.
You know, Mike, I was going to say, you know, we always talk about contracts when we talk about the Red Sox, like Pedroia, David Price, and how bad they were. How many on each team, how many contracts are just as bad as, like, those two contracts? Two or three per team or what?
Yeah, that's probably about right, but I got to tell you, it's getting better. It's getting a lot better in every sport. These GMs are really starting to get privy to, you know, the analytics side of it and pitting these guys on market values better and better. And really, we're seeing shorter contracts across the board in these sports as well, especially basketball. I mean, the LeBrons and the Kevin Durants of the world have really kind of cornered in this notion of get a lot of money right now, get out, start over again. I mean, Tom Brady's been doing that forever, let's be honest here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of the way I think we're seeing sports going. And it's evident right now with baseball in this free agent market that's going nowhere here. I mean, there's teams just aren't willing to do that 8-year, $300 million contract anymore. That seems to be a thing of the past. So I think teams are getting smarter. You're seeing less and less of these crazy contracts, and hopefully that's a trend.
So, Mike, what are some of the things that you've learned that have surprised you in a job like this?
Sure. So really one of the things is that certain teams have certain consistent trends, right? So there are certain teams in football, for instance, that will never guarantee a base salary. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you're going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you can never get a guaranteed salary. You can get a signing bonus, but that's it. So there's little caveats that a lot of these teams have. You know, the Patriots are never going to pay you top dollar. That's just the Patriots way, things like that. But that's one of the most interesting things. Another would be that the free agency, just really in general, free agency, it used to be go out and pay a guy 4 times what he's worth, and that's just how you're going to get a good free agent in any sport. That's changed. That's changed a lot, and I think what we're seeing is more trades. It's something that we track a lot. We track actually every transaction with these sports across the board on SpotTrack. Which is arduous, but it's been worth it because from a data standpoint, we've been able to see trends. And we're trending towards trade deadlines being almost as important as free agent season. So it's a year-long process. Obviously, the draft is the way to go in a lot of these sports still. But, you know, I think even with this upcoming NFL free agency, you're going to see a bunch of trades hit right off the bat.
You know, Mike, it's funny because we know that the coaches' salaries don't go into the salary cap. But do you find out how much all these coaches make? Because we still don't have a definitive number on how much Bill Belichick actually makes here.
No, we don't. And it's because I've there were so many misreported numbers, I really stayed away from it.
Yeah.
I've got an internal spreadsheet that I kind of keep whenever reports come up so that I can sort of know and reference it. But the last number I have for Belichick is $7.5 million. I find it hard to believe that he's like the eighth highest paid coach, you know, unless there's a million bonuses thrown in every year when he hits the playoffs or something. But yeah, it's been so inconsistent that I've sort of stayed away from it.
Would you be the expert on collusion since you deal with so much contracts and everybody's contract? Would they ever say, hey, we got to go ahead and get this guy in court, man? Look what's going on here.
It's interesting because that question has never come up, and I've always been nervous about that because I sort of sit in between the players and the teams and the agents, and you know what's important to me is that I kind of create my own content. You know what I mean? I really try not to spin or answer somebody's questions that come up because if I get in a conversation with those kind of players or teams on Twitter or something like that, I do think that could be a situation where I'm in trouble.
Oh, totally. That's why I totally could see that going on.
Yeah. So it is something I'm privy to, and I really just try to stay, you know, unbiased and on one track in terms of that.
Hopefully we won't be reporting about you.
Yeah, this will be our last talk, guys.
Yeah, before the jail sentence starts. Hey, have you ever seen a team make a move and sort of been like, how are they possibly going to make that work?
The Pittsburgh Steelers thinking they can franchise tag Le'Veon Bell again. I just can't see in this modern era a $15 million cap hit on a running back. I get it. He's great, and he's a wide receiver slash running back. But with Antonio Brown already under contract, I cannot imagine them wanting to make that work for a long-term purpose. That to me blows me away. And quite frankly, the franchise tag system as a whole right now to me blows me away. The situation with Cousins really got out of hand, and I think we're in a situation where a lot of teams may try to abuse that scenario, because if they can afford the cap, which they shouldn't, but if they can afford it, they're really taking advantage of the situation here, and it's not good. So hopefully that comes up in the next CBA.
Mike Jannetty of SpotTrac with us. Mike, we'll get you out of here on this, because Arnie and I fight with this every time it comes up as related to baseball for the most part. He's Mr. Throw your money and your prospects at another team and you know, make big trades. Like, he wanted the Red Sox to get Justin Verlander last year.
Yep.
And I said, you know what? Let's develop the prospects and get young players under team control for not a lot of money. But it's trending towards the way I'm thinking, right? That's what the GMs are saying.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to be the Astros right now, right? That's what the Marlins are trying to do right now, is get absolutely throw it off out of the table, start over, get some international guys in that are cheap, get some guys on that early 6-year plan where it's dirt cheap. Look, that's hard to do, though. I mean, you've got to hit on a lot of guys early to make that work, because if you're paying nobody, then when you need to go and pay anybody, you better hope you've got a system in place that will draw that player in. So it's a really fine line between getting cheap and getting young and losing the ability to sign good players in baseball. I'm a big fan of staying right in the middle. I always have been. I mean, the Astros kind of finished this thing up at, you know, 16th in the league in payroll last year, dead center. They were literally the league average in payroll. So they built themselves up year by year over the last 4 years almost perfectly, right? They added about 20% cap every year for 4 years, adding a player or two that sort of made a difference, and they were just sort of able to hit gold with it. But that's the model. That's for sure the model. You want to use your analytics. You want to get a couple of international signings that are relatively cheap, and then you just want to ride the young guys out while you can.
Well, Michael, if you get served, let us know. That'd be pretty cool.
I'll bring it right back to you guys.
It's all our fault.
Michael, thank you very much. Interesting stuff. We'll catch up with you later on.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, Mike. Michael Jannetty, everybody from SpotTrac. Some interesting stuff on there. I was thinking about that. Help me out. Who did Colin Kaepernick want to serve to go to court on his behalf?
Papa John. Oh, no.
Yes, you're right. Papa John. That's exactly who it was. Because Papa John has friends like Jerry Jones, and unless he wants to lie under oath,
right,
that's how you get the information. That's what made me think that they would bring somebody like this guy in who does contracts and say, hey, you're the contract expert. Do you think collusion's going on based on the number of contracts and resigning? And he'd be like, boy, I guess I could answer that, because I am the ultimate in contract expert. So that's what I mean. But yeah, I was thinking about that with Kaepernick is trying to get Papa John to go to court. That's incredible.
Jerry and Papa John, two of my favorite folks.
Unbelievable. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Big deal, little deal, or no deal.
All right, stick around for that right here on What Do We.
Welcome back to the huddle. It's time for our newest feature.
Maybe this one will sweep the nation also.
It's time for Big Deal.
Rich, you guys are missing the point. This is a huge deal.
Little deal.
Oh, please, Arnie. This is nothing.
Or no deal.
You guys are both wrong. It's in the middle. How am I even still listening to you?
On 101.3 ESPN.
All right, and of course, you can play along on Big Deal, Little Deal, No Deal on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. You can answer any question that Brady is going to ask, because it is now time for Big Deal, Little Deal, or No Deal. Or No Deal.
The music's like, there.
All right, go.
It's
I'm
there.
Kidding.
He's
go
getting
ahead.
A little old and hard of hearing. So.
All right, what's the first question there, Brady?
Question one. Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts acknowledged clubhouse issues for last year's Red Sox today. Big deal, little deal, or no deal?
This is a humongous deal. Big deal, but that's not the question I wanted to answer.
That's a question in front
I
of
I know
you.
That, but let me tell you something. When I saw this story, and it's a humongous deal, it is a bigger deal than we even imagine, but to me, the big deal is, you know who they're pointing the finger at, don't you?
John Farrell.
The media.
No, Dustin Pedroia.
Oh.
That
I did
cancer.
Not see that.
Because of the Machado thing?
Yes! That was one of the reasons. I knew that when we were talking about it last year. What do you want from me? It's them! I knew that caused a riff in the whole clubhouse. He's a cancer. I knew. I'm like, who does he think he is throwing the whole team under the bus like that? Yeah, it's a big deal, but I knew it was because of the Pedroia thing.
Yeah.
Because, hey, what do you want from me? This isn't me doing it. What? Yeah. Man, what a wuss.
I've kind of fallen into the Pedroia trap early in his career. The laser show, you know, PD, all the, you know, the short guy giving it his all and giving everything he can for the team and busting his butt down the line on a routine ground ball back to the pitcher. And I love that about him. It's kind of a dirt dog mentality. But you also get the feeling, you can almost sense it in the interviews with him, even early in his career, that he's just so intense that he's probably not a lot of fun to be around, especially when he's not in a good mood, which is most of the time by the looks of things.
I'm going with big deal, but I think it's less to me about Pedroia and it's more about David Price. I think it's more about – but nonetheless, who, no matter what, if it's one or the other, the veterans on that team didn't have good control of the clubhouse. And the veterans on that team were spreading negative energy in that clubhouse, and they acknowledge that today. Now, I think they're both ready to move on from it. I hope that – the young guys, along with Alex Cora, start to phase those attitudes out because that's going to be one of the biggest keys for the 2018 Sox.
We'll see how things go in July.
That's why Farrell's gone.
When they lose six in a row and people start getting a little tricky in the clubhouse. We'll see. I mean, it's easy to say that because it's the right thing to say. Everybody's 0-0 and everybody's going to win the World Series.
Question two, the New York Giants may cut wide receiver Brandon Marshall this offseason. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Oh, was he still on the team? I didn't know that.
Really?
You know, last year when they got him, I was like, all right, Super Bowl! Now it's no deal, and I don't care. Really? I mean, I don't know who's at wide receiver in the draft. Give me some fifth-round wide receiver. I'll be happy. Then bring him this guy back. I'm not saying they'll be better than him, but... You know, and I don't really actually want to make fun of him because didn't he supposedly have mental health issues? So, you know, for the most part, bottom line is the Giants need to move on from some people that are not going to be a good locker room / clubhouse guy. He's one of them. It's time to move on. And wide receivers, you can get pretty much of that talent. You could find some more otherwhere.
Well, to me, I'll go with little deal just because it's the middle choice. So much of this to me depends on whether Beckham is back next year, and it sounds like he's going to be. But is he going to be 100%? Because Brandon Marshall doesn't play into thing. I think he had 15, 16 catches or whatever in the five games that he was healthy, but he didn't have any touchdowns. Then he got hurt, and... to me, it all depends on whether Beckham's there, because if Marshall's the number one target for Eli Manning, I think he still has that 100-plus catch season possibly in him that he had 2 years ago.
Well, he wouldn't be the number one. Sterling Shepard's there. Also, Evan Engram, the tight end who they drafted this year, who had a good year. I think it's a little deal because Marshall is – you look at what's the one thing the Giants could hold their hat on and say, okay, we got a lot of issues, but we're good at this. One is on the defensive front when you look at Harrison and JPP and Olivia Vernon. It's also the other side in the wide receivers room when you look at Beckham and Marshall and Shepard, and then you throw in Engram. They've got four guys who can catch passes there effectively when they're all healthy. And Brandon Marshall's don't just grow on trees. I want to say Brandon Marshall is the only player in NFL history to have a 1,000-yard season with three different teams. And I get it. It's an issue if you've had to play for three different teams, that's an issue. But he did it with Denver, he did it with Chicago, and he did it with Miami. I think if healthy, he still serves a purpose, especially in the red zone.
And he did it with the Jets.
Yeah. So there'll be four teams then.
Yeah. Did you say I was saying I know he did it with the Jets.
Yeah,
1,500 yards a couple of years ago. That was my point, is that he's only 2 years separated from a 1,500-yard season.
Question three, the Celtics gave up their season high in points for the second consecutive game. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
It's less than a little deal. It's no deal. The only reason I say that is, because one, they are a good defensive team. Two, what are they playing for? The Eastern Conference top spot with Toronto? And people are saying it's Cleveland's anyway. So what difference does it make if they're number one, they're number two, they're number three? It really doesn't make a difference. And you know what? When the playoffs come around, that schedule gets pulled back so, you know, what was it, like one game every other week or something like that? So, I've never seen back-to-back playoff games, have you?
They don't exist.
Ever. Rarely do you see, like,
Three days apart in the same city.
It's it's so pulled back, it's not even funny. So they'll get their rest then. That's why I don't think it's that big of a concern then.
In December, I'd call this no deal. In January, I'd call it a little deal. It's a full-fledged big deal right now. This team stinks. I sat there watched that entire foolish game last night. There's no defense being played. Everybody's playing like they're exhausted, and they're saying, we're heading into the All-Star break now. We're going to tweak the lineup. Things are going to get better. I mean, this is the opposite of the Bruins, where you could say, well, it's just a phase. Every team goes through a phase up and down. Well, the Bruins have been going through their up phase for 2 months. The Celtics have been going through this phase in a downward spiral for about a month and a half now. I think it's a big deal.
I'll say little deal because a lot of what Arnie said about the playoff schedule being pulled back, but also remember, this isn't the team that we're going to see in the playoffs. Marcus Smart, we have to assume, is going to be healthy. He's your best defensive player. There are other issues on this team aside from just defense. Rebounding is still an issue for this team at times. Being a secondary scoring option outside of Kyrie Irving is an issue for this team at times. And I think both of those loom larger right now than a hot shooting night from beyond the arc from the Los Angeles Clippers. Question four, Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo, both former Celtics, were both ejected last night for, well, I guess I would call it hand fighting, if you can even just go to that extreme. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
No deal, and I loved it.
I did too.
I loved this is the way we play at the YMCA. And, yes. And if a guy's in my face like that, what I do is I run full speed at him, and I push him into the screen like if Brady's going to set a screen and try to knock him down and go right around. Let's bring it on. I loved. And let me tell you something, 100% honesty, there was not a lot of there was no foul. I didn't see a foul in right. That. Was it like a minute of?
Yeah, it was nothing.
It was just a whole
just
lot
in
of nothing.
Face.
It was really nobody. I was watching carefully. Nobody grabbed another guy to stop them from getting open or to purposely, you know, to draw a foul. You could have went without even calling a foul, yet alone a technical foul. I say no deal.
I'll call it a little deal. And you're telling me that that's exactly the same defense you play in the Y League?
That's why Trimboli would have had maybe four Except points instead of 54.
Aren't you at the other end of the floor waiting for the ball for the three-point shot?
I do both. I do both, Rich. That's
you're
what I
that
do.
Quick.
I'm that
you're
quick.
That
that's
athletic.
Why I hold down Trimboli. That's why I slap the floor with my hands.
Rondo is such a bizarre guy. Everybody's always sort of said they put up with him because he's been good. He's just such an interesting character. But I look at this as kind of a little deal, sort of a middling deal, because of the fact that it continued through the timeout. I mean, they're just bickering at each other the whole timeout, which you rarely see guys getting chucked out of games because of something that happened during the timeout. But it was weird. Rondo wasn't really – is that what defense is? I mean, he was basically just gluing himself to Thomas, you know, from the front. He was from the front. It wasn't like he was even trying to cover him. He was just trying to drive him crazy. I'll go little deal.
I'll go zero deal. This was stupid and annoying. Let the players play. People who came to see, you know, the teams play at full strength. You're already not seeing DeMarcus Cousins play in that game if you're a New Orleans fan. Now you can see Rondo get tossed. You're not seeing Lonzo play if you're a Laker fan. And then you're not seeing IT either. What a waste. What an awful ref show that was. No deal at all. Question five and the final one. The Team USA women's hockey team with Amanda Pelkey on it from UVM lost to Canada last night for the fifth consecutive time. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
No deal because they have one more game against them, right? That's going to be next week, and that's probably going to be for the gold. So I'd rather lose this one and win the one for the gold. So and that's the way it will happen. USA will beat them, and we'll end that five-game losing streak. Well, no deal quick. On that one. Thank you.
I'm going to go little deal just because this doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people in this country, but around here. When Canada plays, the problem with women's hockey, and this has been an issue forever, we've talked about this over the years, when the teams came for the World Championships at Gutterson Fieldhouse, it always comes down in every scenario to the same two teams. Eventually, somebody else on the planet has to get better at women's hockey. It's always Canada versus the U.S., 1-2, 2-1. So I will not call this a no deal, because this is really, really big when these two teams meet each other, because they're just going to beat everybody else.
It's little deal because they could have an opportunity to play again. I do believe in mental psyche playing into things, and if you're Canada, you know you have the decided advantage over Team USA. But the U.S. can pull a lot of good vibes out of that loss. If that's, you know, I know people don't want to go that route with it and say, oh, no mental victory or no moral victories, but they outshot Canada 45-23 yesterday. They were the aggressors in a lot of instances, and there was a kind of a fluke goal that gave the first goal for Team Canada. If I'm the U.S., I hold my hat on, hey, we played well and we took some bad bounces in that one, and maybe we're in their head because they know that we can play with them.
Arnie, you're right, though, in that in what you said. They're going to see each other again in a week or whatever it's going to be.
All right, we'll come on back. We'll finish out the hour. Before we do that, though, we'll get to clean up your act. Stick around for that right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Hour one just flying on by. So much to get to. Now it's time for Clean Up Your Act.
There's no music.
Clean Up Your Act.
Oh, let's think of some music about cleaning.
Yeah, Rich and I had music last week when you weren't here and we had to clean up your act.
No, you didn't.
What's a song about
cleaning?
We didn't
do it last week, so don't lie to me because I was here.
Rich, did we have music?
I think you sang a number.
I sang a number. A
couple of show tunes.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. You guys are irritating here.
I can't work like this.
Here.
There you go. Okay.
Let me
do the first one for Clean Up Your Act. And this is a good song for that. We've done this before about this guy, but I want to say it because it's gotten to a point where it's gotten out of hand.
Ooh, I know.
LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's not so much about him, Rich. He's going to cost the number two pick in the NBA draft, his son, a career in the NBA. And look, I know that's sounding dramatic, but you'll say, oh, come on, the kid's good enough. Somebody will take a chance on him. He may find himself out of the NBA in like 3 years because his father's going to tell him to come play in Lithuania or wherever the hell they're going to tell him to play. His father's going to talk him out of the NBA kind of, and I'm not going to blame Todd Marinovich's dad, Marv Marinovich, remember him?
Another equally quality
person. No, I'm not going to blame him because that's Todd's own fault. He was a partier, right? Lonzo's not a partier.
Right.
Lonzo's all about basketball. Yep. So that's what bothers me. His father's going to talk him out of the NBA.
It's funny because I'm hearing talk that there's no way LeBron goes to the Lakers if Lonzo Ball is still, not Lonzo Ball, but if LeVar Ball, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You know how fast Lonzo Ball will be out of Los Angeles if that's the case?
Who's going to take a chance on him when they have these shenanigans going on?
Right. No one. No, you're absolutely right. It's borderline tragic. Clean up your act. It looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars have. Remember those guys that threw that stuff at Quentin Jefferson,
your beloved
Seahawks? They're gone. Never allowed in that stadium ever
again.
They
found out who it was?
Yeah, both of them.
Yes, they did. Two of them. They did a thorough
examination. Let me guess, one was a CPA and the other a librarian.
Well, let's see. Do they name names? No, they don't. They do not. But, I mean, you saw what happened.
Well, to me, the ultimate is they caught the guy that threw, the beer from Toronto? Was that what it was? And he was like a media member or something like that. So I never really heard the full whatever happened to him.
Well, I know the show is called, or this portion of it is called Clean Up Your Act. It looks like the Jaguars did. Those fans are never allowed to set
foot. That's too bad.
Now, but really, what do they have? Do they have a picture of the two people at all the entry gates? How are they going to know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Facial recognition.
Just wondering.
Clean Up Your Act to the people over at Mid-Major Madness. Every year, they rate the sexiest men's basketball coaches from the mid-major ranks, and John Becker only got eighth.
Eighth?
You mean you're talking about looks?
Well,
doing a good job.
It's mainly basketball.
Oh,
but come on.
Didn't he win it a few years ago?
He's like a model, that guy.
Will Brown won it.
Will Brown won?
Yeah, Will Brown?
He won it 1 year.
Who's the other seven ahead of him? Do you know?
I don't remember all of them.
Bunch of scrubs?
But John Becker only got eight? Come on now, coach. You're better than that.
Yeah, he is.
They're disrespecting you.
They are disrespecting him.
They obviously don't care about record.
Did they? Did they get another vote in the top 25, Brady?
They still had one vote in the top 25.
Oh, John Feinstein. Yeah, I'm guessing it's John. Who was just raving about... about UVA.
Well, it helped that he was doing the game on the broadcast when they opened up the brand new arena down there a couple weeks ago, and UVM went in and just destroyed them.
What was harder, the YMCA League or the American East League when Trimboli played?
Really?
I don't know which was harder league, Brady. Do you know?
if you want to call it the America East instead of the American, then maybe I'll answer.
Wow! Hour one of the books. Brady's gonna have a Sports Center update coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
What crazy thing will Arnie say next? Find out now on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, thought you pointed at me.
It's hard to find good help around here.
It is very hard to find.
I did not point at you.
You knuckled at me. You went like this.
Not a knuckle. A knuckle is not a point.
He went like that.
Are you like this on your national show? Some poor 15-year-old running the board for you?
Oh, I yell at them like crazy. Ugh. Oh, do I yell?
I love when people who don't know how to do things yell at people who do.
Wow.
Yeah, why don't we switch it around and have Brady in your chair and see what happens?
You know, we should do that
one day. I know how to push a button. I do know how to push a button and turn on a light on and off.
Yeah, we should do like how yesterday Dick Vitale was doing the Celtic game for ESPN and the broadcaster switch.
Yes,
we should do that where I sit where you are and you have to do what I do.
Absolutely.
Nothing would ever get on the air.
Peace.
Can you imagine asking for an audio cut with Arnie on the board?
I can't imagine asking Arnie to turn on our mics.
By the way, did you just
I would
say,
just turn on all the buttons.
Did you just say Plattsburgh State graduate John Daly in the Olympics?
Yes, skeleton.
Okay, but it's not that John
no,
Daly.
No,
not right. Golfing John
Daly.
Can you
imagine John Daly in college?
Can you imagine John Daly doing skeleton?
Let me ask you a question. Was I watching the Olympics this morning in a female wrestling match? Did you guys see this? I don't know. Maybe I dreamed it.
I did not see that.
No, that this one girl was on top of the other, and she was just pretty much like that for 2 minutes, couldn't pin her, was real close. And
you did not see wrestling? No.
I didn't see wrestling.
There's no female wrestling in the Olympics?
Not in the winter.
Well, then it was something I saw wrestling this morning. It might not have been the Olympics. And the lady's hand came out, and she took the girl's hand and busted it.
Right, you might have been watching some action movie.
No. And it had scores and everything. And she broke the girl's hand on purpose.
Why are you watching this?
Because it broke the girl's hand, and it was like disformed. And the announcer was like, oh, you can see it disformed. I don't know if he had that accent.
It's called the WWE.
No, I'm serious.
Were you watching UFC highlights?
No. It looked like Olympic type stuff.
You're just
no. I'm serious. And the arm was like dangling like this, dangle, and I'm like, oh, she's gonna rip that arm out of his socket. And I was totally glued into it
in the Winter Olympics.
That was
Jerry Springer, not wrestling. That's what Mario and Colchester says.
It could have been Springer. It could have been Springer. No, you got to tell me I'm not losing it. I'm telling you, I'm watching this.
I have
this
bad
morning.
News.
I'm losing
You've lost it.
You aren't losing it. It's gone.
The girl reached it and took this other girl's arm.
Gotcha.
And like made it into a pretzel.
That does
and
sound
guess
like
what?
Jerry Springer.
And the other girl wouldn't quit. And once it hit zero, she fell to the mat. They came rushing out like, look at her arm.
Were you watching Maury reruns again?
It was Maury on Fox.
You know what? Fine. I'm a knucklehead then. I don't know what to tell you. I'm telling you, I was watching it this morning. I don't know what the hell it was, but I was watching it this morning. I'm telling you.
Arnie,
you're
looking like a knucklehead.
I am. I'm looking like a knucklehead, but the hand was dangling there.
Arnie, did you really just say that?
Yeah, I thought I watched it this morning. I did. It wasn't a movie, I swear.
No, it was probably Maury.
No, it wasn't Maury. It was a real match. It was a real match among two women. Maybe it was judo.
Not in the Olympics.
Not in the Winter Olympics. No.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'm gonna figure.
This is a big effing deal.
No, I'm gonna find out what it was, and then I'm gonna come back and do it to both you guys with your arms and see how much you like.
Great.
That. You know, like please take your arm and do this thing. Like they pull the wrist back and you're like, oh, and you start to cry. They were doing that to the girl. Like,
Arnie, we don't believe that.
No, they're snapping where the wrist was. I'm telling you.
At least if nothing else out of this foolishness, you get to play all the sound effects.
Yeah,
I know.
Once I find out, I'm going to rub that in your face. I'm
I
telling
can't
you that.
Wait.
Brady, what's coming up? What are we doing here, my friend?
Certainly nothing. It can only get better from here.
Yeah, well, somebody better tell me what the hell I was watching this morning, because I'm telling you it was real. It was absolutely real. Go ahead,
it definitely
Brady.
Wasn't.
It was. It was. I swear it was. It was the girl's arm. I even Googled it before the show, and I couldn't find it.
WWE.
It must have been something. All right, go ahead, Brady.
It's time to talk about baseball.
Oh, again? Gee, that shocker. Pitchers and catchers report.
About the Patriots?
Let me tell you, we're not even doing, they haven't even started the preseason games, the exhibition baseball games.
Not yet, no.
I mean, the team's not even there, just the pitchers and catchers game. They said, you know what, don't even worry about showing. We're just going to have the pitchers and catchers come. That's like saying only the offensive linemen are going to come, then the rest of the team is going to show up. I don't understand.
Well, let's talk about hockey then. Is that what you'd rather talk about?
Well, remember, tomorrow we're live at First Republic Brewery in Essex. The Wintercraft Beer Tour kicks off. But for today, I'm going to cut this music in a second, but just let it sit there, Arnie. Come on. You can't tell me you're not excited.
No. Yeah, it's what?
It's
February.
Great.
It's great.
What's wrong with you guys?
It's 6 weeks from today, opening day.
I booked my trip to Arizona yesterday.
I don't get excited about 6 weeks before the start of the NFL season.
Well, nor should you.
That's like a month and a half.
Right.
What do you mean, nor should you?
No, it's just too much. NFL never goes away. Baseball just flat out goes away for like 3 months.
Yeah, what I love is there's only 162 games, so every game means so much. So
yeah, but
important.
That's the best part of it, because when your team loses and you're mad at them, guess what? You get to play again in 20 hours.
An unknown texter just texted and said, Arnie, I have your back.
Rachel Ray.
No, it's not. Rachel Royale. Rachel Ray is a Food Network star.
Yes,
really?
No, this is not what I was watching. Is that
UFC professional.
It's
Thank
MTV.
You.
Oh, it was UFC. Is that what it was? UFC? No, it wasn't UFC, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it wasn't UFC.
I mean, really?
I'm being 100% honest with you guys.
Paige fought 3 rounds with a broken arm yesterday and showed us how a true UFC professional displays character and grace.
Maybe it was. Did they wear robes? No, they don't wear like judo robes. They were wearing judo robes.
Can we just move on?
All right. We got to figure it out now. I'm losing my marbles. Go ahead, Brady.
Well, hopefully we just did.
Yeah.
Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts spoke to the media today down in Fort Myers. What are our takeaways? We got a lot of stuff. Well, we got a bunch of clips here that we can play. Let's kind of let's just start here. Mookie Betts talking about the arbitration process. What does he think about his relationship with the Red Sox? Is there any bad blood?
Not at all. Not at all. That's just two sides that two people cannot agree. That's okay. That's just a part of life. I think it just so happened twice. That's okay. I love it here. I love the guys here. But right now, I'm just worried about 2018 and keeping my eyes focused there.
I don't buy that.
Yeah,
for a second.
See, that's not true. That's not true.
He's saying the right thing.
Yeah, anytime you go through arbitration and the team gets to come back at you for about, what is it, like an hour and say for a half hour, we could tell you how bad he is and how he doesn't deserve any close to the money that he wants. And let me tell you how he doesn't do this well and he doesn't hit like this well and his fielding kind of sucks also. Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
I still have no idea what the Red Sox are thinking with this guy. He's driven in 100 plus runs the last 2 years. He steals 20, 30 bases. He plays great defense. I know he hit 264 last year, but he hit for power. He's a staple in this team's future, and they're just messing around with him. And I guarantee you in a couple of years, when that long-term deal comes up, they're going to pay for it.
And did you see what Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays, who lost his arbitration hearing, said? He tweeted immediately after. He goes, "Can't believe what I just had to sit through and listen to my own team say about me. Only going to motivate me further."
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
honest.
That's one of the best players on the Blue Jays right there. Do I think that it's going to crush Betts' chances of signing here long term? No. But I also don't believe the Red Sox have done themselves any favors. They have a lot of people that they're going to want to re-sign in the next few years. They're not going to be able to re-sign everybody. Don't count on Betts being somebody who plays ball with.
And I don't think there's any more important player other than maybe Chris Sale moving forward. And maybe I might even put Betts above him long term.
I would because
Sale's,
of his age.
What, 30, 29, whatever he is?
I think he's 30.
Betts is 25 years old, and he's driving in 100 runs with speed and great defense. I mean, who's more important on this team than Mookie Betts for your long-term future? Sign him now.
Yeah.
Nobody. Betts, Benintendi, and Devers.
Yes.
Those are the three that really matter to you. Then Sale after that, I would say. Jackie Bradley probably rounds out your top five. Betts continued on to talk about the culture in the clubhouse last year when things weren't going well and what he hopes to accomplish this season in the clubhouse.
I think just tension in the locker room as far as if things are down. We have to find a way to smile and go out and refocus on the game now versus kind of what's been going on. I think this year will be a little different. I'm going to approach things a little differently as far as, if I'm not playing well or if we're losing and whatnot, I can do my best to try and find a way to get everybody back happy, smiling, excited, and going to play.
Does that mean they're going to extend the outfield dance routine after victories?
By the way, I didn't see a lot of animosity that went through last year, other than the Pedroia situation, which
Price.
We're on that, and Price. But Price's thing had to do with, Eckersley, right?
And a reporter.
And a reporter. So that wasn't with his teammates or anything like that. So, I mean, you expect a couple of those every year from every team. Does it not happen or no?
Well, I think the Price thing weighed on the team because they had to answer all the questions for him, and he wasn't around. He wouldn't talk to the media. He was injured and wasn't around. Then you get everybody calling for John Farrell's job, and they have to answer questions about that. And Farrell starts to disconnect from the team. You can just sense it was just a sultry mood around the team last year. What's interesting is Betts sounds pretty mature there about it. He goes, look, I'm going to try to be better about this stuff and try to keep people more upbeat. But earlier in the press conference, he said that, you know, he's not the kind of guy to be the team leader. He said, I'm just going to be me. Yeah. Well, which one are you going to be? Are you going to be are you just going to be you and sit back and do your own thing? Or are you going to be the guy who tries to keep everybody upbeat? Which camp are you in here, Mookie?
And this is such a Boston media thing, too. Boston, New York, Philadelphia, to a point, I guess, the Dodgers, where you've got to be so careful about everything you say and do, or it's just, especially if your team starts losing a bunch of games in a row. This reminds me of the whole chicken and beer thing. I mean, that was blown up so much because the team wasn't good that year. What was that one incident in the clubhouse? And what do you remember about that year's team? I mean, that was all they ever talked about for the last 2-3 months of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, just don't – you guys are kind of over – or brushing over the fact that if Price – or Price already came out and said he was going to be different this year, right? Mm-hmm. Remember we even said, what does that mean? Is that going to be a pain in the you-know-what?
I don't care. Well, just win.
That leaves one. And I could see – I knew – I could tell that Pedroia – I mean, he's – he rubs me the wrong way, and I'm not even on the team. I don't like this. Look, I'm making no bones. I don't like him. I never liked him. I'm not saying he wasn't a good player, and he didn't serve his purpose and did a damn good job for the Red Sox. You know, if I could ship him out and need half his contract and somebody else take half, I would do it in a heartbeat and drive him to the damn airport myself. And look, I'm sorry, that's the way I feel.
Look, I don't love Pedroia either. I was hard on Pedroia last year. I think that he was a bad teammate. I think he was a malcontent, and I think
yes,
he's
he
part
was.
Of a group of malcontents. But that said, if you're going to give Price the benefit for saying the right thing the other day, and if you're going to give Betts
I'd
the benefit for
too,
saying the right things, then give Pedroia the credit, because when he was on Rob Bradford's podcast from, I want to say it's WEEI, a month ago, he talked about how he loved Cora and the great relationship they have and all that stuff. So whether you think he means it or not, if you're going to give Price the benefit of the doubt because of his comments, you at least have to extend it to Pedroia,
too. But Price never threw his teammates under the bus.
He threw the whole city under the bus. He said the fans are bad, the media is bad. That's almost his worst.
Pedroia threw his own teammates under the bus when the going got tough and there was going to be some throwdowns and there was going to be some punches. He looked at the other team and said, what do you want from me? It's them. And that's something that will never – you know what? His teammates will never forgive him for that. They'll always remember the BS that came out of his mouth when he said something like that. And we made a big deal about this at the time. I don't remember last year. We said, you can't do that. Could you imagine Tom Brady going, what do you want from me? It's those guys. Or Belichick. Or
like Giselle.
Exactly. We ripped her like crazy. You can't do that, Rich. And, and that sticks with everybody.
And there's like I said, it's so much of this is the media that they play, the media market that they play into. You've just got to be so ultra careful when you're on the Red Sox. And look, I don't
any
know how
team.
It's going to be. But and I mean, you look at, you know, you see the outfield dance after the win, and that's kind of fun. They look like they're having fun. But then you look at you look at Porcello and Price and Sale. Have you ever seen those three guys smile?
And Kimbrel.
And none of them look like they look like they're all about to have a root canal, whether they've won or lost. They never smile. I mean, is there a more boring interview than Chris Sale? But he gets away with it because he's so good, and that's fine. I'd rather have a boring pitcher go 18-5, but I mean, Porcello, has the guy ever smiled in his life? You're making $20 million a year to play 33 baseball games. Have some fun.
By the way, Kimber will be gone by the day after the All-Star game.
Oh, okay.
Just want to throw
Let's write that down. Do you want to wash cars if you're wrong?
I'll be right on that one, unfortunately.
Since the Patriots bailed you out.
He'll be gone. That's the only thing you could really trade. They'll offer him so much, the Red Sox so much, they won't be able to turn it down.
So the Red Sox are going to be so far out of the playoff
race?
No,
not that. You know what? They might be right there for a wild card, but they'll say, you know what? Hell, the hell with it. We're not going to win a World Series. Let's ship him out. We'll bring in somebody else, and we got some guy at AAA. Look what he's doing, 31 to 31 saves. We'll just make him the starter.
Really? If they're in a playoff position, you think they're getting rid of their shutdown closer?
They're not better than the Yankees. They're not better than the Yankees.
This year right now, going into the season, they're not better than the Yankees, but they're also not getting rid of Kimbrel if they're in contention. That's ludicrous.
Real quick, Tom Fair Talk Text Size. At times, he hurts them on the field by playing with injury and hitting 250. Also said, Red Sox fan here, and I agree with Arnie. So a lot of people think that Pedroia needs to be gone. But unfortunately, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for that damn contract, if it was just everything straight in the up and up, They'd cut him right damn now and say thank you. Even if he had weren't tied in for next year, they'd cut him right now and say thank you very much.
Again, you're putting words in my mouth. I don't like Pedroia. His contract is hurting this team. I don't think he's a particularly
likable guy either.
He's not a particularly likable guy, and he's often injured, okay? He is costing this team dearly in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
But you at least have to acknowledge that if you're willing to give David Price the benefit of the doubt because he sat up there and played the good soldier yesterday and said the right things, understand Pedroia did that a month ago. You at least have to extend the same courtesy
to
him.
Not if you're
going to
throw me and the rest of your teammates under the bus. Price
could throw the city under the bus, the media, and treat Hall of Famers with disrespect, and he gets a free pass from
you. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I wanted Price gone a long time ago also. If I was a Red Sox fan, I'd say get him the hell out of here. I wouldn't want him around.
All I care about is that Dustin Pedroia keeps doing Sullivan tire ads. It's very important.
Mookie Betts also talked about hitting leadoff.
Leadoff my whole life, so I don't think it's anything different than what I've always done. I think the difference was when I was batting in the middle of the order. I think that was the different part for me. But going back to leadoff is kind of like going back home. So
Betts is going to hit leadoff this year. Benintendi is going to hit second. And Alex Cora says a lot of things can change in that lineup. That's not going to change. I like it. I like Betts in the leadoff spot. Speed, power, and average at the top of your order is great. Benintendi gives them a great right-left combo at the beginning. But you do need to find – this makes – if you're going to hit Betts leadoff, you have to sign Martinez because who hits third otherwise?
Right. It's certainly not going to be Bogaerts, who's averaging about 10 home runs a game.
It's not Mitch Moreland.
No, it better not be.
And it better not be Devers.
No, you're absolutely right. Unless all of a sudden Devers turns into a 25 home run guy like you were saying earlier. So.
By the way, I'm just curious, because you're the metric saber number guy, all this.
Metric saber.
You know, when you have your leadoff guy, Mookie Betts, what do you have, 26 steals? I don't even know if that's good anymore, if that's considered good.
That's a lot.
26 out of 29. When you're stealing, what is that, like a 95% clip, wouldn't you be saying, okay, let's try to steal 75 times, and if you make it 80% of the time, we'll accept that? Or I don't know if you're saying, why wouldn't you do something more when you're successful 96% of the time?
And how many times have we seen this? How many times have we seen guys 20-20 guys, 30-30 guys who just stopped? Mike Trout is an example of it. Found his power, and all of a sudden, I mean, look at Mike Trout. Look at Barry Bonds' early career.
He doesn't bat leadoff, though.
I mean, all of a sudden, you've got these guys stealing 40, 50 bases every year. Then all of a sudden, they turn into power hitters, and they're not stealing anything.
Well, Trout did hit leadoff a bunch, and he's still, I want to say.
Is he still leadoff? Because
he's been hitting second a lot last season. But he was hitting leadoff very deep into his career. A lot of these guys don't run anymore because they don't want to get hurt. That's why. Yeah, and their teams don't want them to get hurt. So, yes, that's why.
Leadoff, though. I mean, so
what's more valuable to you, Bryce Harper in the lineup or Bryce Harper stealing second and jamming his wrist and being out for 6 weeks?
You know what? I got to tell you, I don't know a lot of injuries of people just stealing bases. Maybe
how many broken fingers, how many jammed wrists, how many sprained thumbs, how many broken thumbs, how many times does a cleat step on the top of the guy's hands? I'm telling you, it's a lot.
I would love to see the difference between having somebody like Betts as the your leadoff hitter, and then back in the day, like a Vince Coleman who had, what,
100.
100. What a difference between 26 stolen bases and a guy that's going to give you 100 every year, what that does for somebody's offense.
Right, but that's all Vince Coleman did. Hamilton reminds me a lot of Vince Coleman. That was what he did. He'd hit four home runs, drive in 20 runs, and steal 95
bases.
Give
me some of that.
And also, importantly, more importantly than the stolen bases, he'd score 120 runs. That, absolutely. But, I mean, you look at a guy like Trout, I mean, the stolen base total since his rookie year, 49, 33, 16, 11.
Yeah.
But the last 2 years, last year he went 22 for 26.
It's an art for sure.
So he's still doing it, but when they moved him to that second spot, I think the emphasis comes off of speed when you're not at the top of the order.
Yes. Last thing, I just thought it was interesting. You talk about the texter texted in and said that Pedroia hurts them playing through injuries. Well, Xander Bogaerts played through injuries last year, too, and his second half of the year was really, really bad. They asked him, did you regret playing through injury yourself last season?
Honestly, a little bit, honestly, but that's just who I am. You know, I enjoy playing baseball, and I mean, if I have something broken, that's probably the only way that I won't be in the lineup. But, I mean, to a point, I do regret it, but it's over with. You live and you learn, and this is a new year, so now you can deal with stuff better.
I just thought it was interesting that he was honest about it. Thought it was interesting.
What happened to the guy they got from San Francisco in the trade?
Nunez?
Yeah.
Free agent.
He's a free agent, and he's floating out there.
And nobody wants to touch this guy with a
I don't know why. He's got great numbers.
And he's not a guy – well, I'm assuming he's not the guy that's going to demand big money with like a three-year, $30 million? Or am I just shortchanging him?
I'd love to get him for 3 and 30. That guy put up some serious numbers.
You're shortchanging what he would want, but in this newfound climate, you might not be shortchanging what he could get.
All right, but what do we got coming up next, Brady?
Mark Kestisher, the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio. He was there for the Sunday blowout of the Celtics by the Cavs. We'll ask him about that, Paul Pierce Day, and more.
Coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
What crazy thing will Arnie say next? Find out now on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Thursday, and look, there's no way to sugarcoat it. The Boston Celtics are limping in to the NBA All-Star Weekend here. They allowed their season high in points last night to the Clippers, but before that, they played on Sunday against the Cavaliers and allowed their other previous high in points allowed this year when they played those Cavs and lost on Paul Pierce Day, a day that was supposed to be a really joyous occasion. The guy who was in the building in Boston at TD Garden last Sunday was Mark Kestisher, the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio, and Kesty's with us now on the phone line. Mark Kestisher, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Brady. Everything's good. That was not the result that any of us expected on Sunday with such short time turnaround for the Cavaliers. And like you said, Paul Pierce Day, thought there might be a different energy. And there was early, but it didn't last long for Boston.
Yeah, let's just kind of start at the beginning. What was the vibe in the building like? Because Paul Pierce, you just saw the reverence that the fans had for him as the day wore on.
You know, it was a great feeling because we know how much the fans loved Paul and how much they now revere. It's hard to imagine it's been 10 years since that 17th championship. And then we weren't sure, who was going to be there. They had a surprise party for him on Saturday night. He thought he was just going out to dinner with some of the guys, and it turned out to be like 250 people, former players and coaches, members of the organization, friends of the Celtics. And then, those rumors Kevin Garnett could be there, and he was. And Rajon Rondo, who was in the middle of, played Brooklyn on Saturday and had a game in Detroit on Monday. So we had an off day. Would he be there? He showed up. Doc Rivers, Clippers were nearby on the East Coast. He was there, too. So I think all that, kind of turned into this big reunion day that would conclude with the raising of another retired number. And on top of that, they're thinking fans were, here's a chance to knock down a Cleveland team that, sure, they made good moves, but was in major flux. And so that was kind of the vibe early. It was all big Boston afternoon, place to be.
What do you remember about Pierce, calling games in his prime and seeing him play in his prime? Because he wasn't the biggest guy. He wasn't the fastest guy. He's not the greatest three-point shooter in NBA history, but he was just a bona fide scorer. What do you remember about seeing him in his prime?
Yeah, I think the scoring is what you think about. The clutch shooting, the guy who, when the pressure got, intense, when some guys might back away, he kind of went forward, He was drawn to the pressure of the big moment. You could always, it felt like, count on him, clearing everybody's mind and getting it ready and then hitting some of the biggest shots that we remember. So I just remember the toughness and the fact that if it was late game, and it was him against LeBron or him against Kobe or whoever it was, he was going to match them and sometimes beat them. And then I remember distinctly being courtside as a studio host for the 2008 finals and seeing Paul Pierce crumple to the ground. And we all remember him getting wheelchaired off and thinking, wow, this finals just changed. That was in game one. And then he comes out and they end up knocking off the Lakers and he was the MVP of the finals. So it was always that grit and I guess the belief in himself, which I could never have that kind of belief in myself that he did. I love that quote when he had that late three and he banked it in and Chris Broussard had asked him, did you call bank? And he goes, no, I called game. I mean, it's just one of the great quotes and it kind of speaks to who Paul Pierce was.
Moving to the game itself, one of the things that struck me after the game was Kyrie Irving said that teams that we beat earlier in the year are starting to adjust to us. Did you see what any of those adjustments were from the Cavs, either offensively or defensively?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell from the Cavs because, this was their first game, and defense is so hard when you don't have that trust of guys you just haven't played with, even though Cleveland just seemed like they were out there on instinct. And I think the Celtics helped the cause, too. I mean, look, they're a jump-shooting team. But with Kyrie, he can break down those defenses. And you know, he really didn't in the second half, and the Celtics settled for so many jump shots. I think the biggest thing I've noticed more than the adjustments is guys that they've really leaned on, young guys like Tatum and Brown. I mean, it's so easy to say they've just hit the rookie wall. I mean, it's a cliche, but yeah, it might be true. You know, just trying to get to the All-Star break, those guys did not have a good game. They gave up way too many points in the paint. If anything, Boston is a really good defensive team, way better than even last year. That's what Brad Stevens was telling us that he was learning early in the season was. He had himself a much better defensive team. And I thought last year they had some good defensive parts, you know, Avery Bradley, the first that comes to mind right there. But just they gave up way too many points in the paint. I think some of their young guys they're leaning on are tired. They don't have that viable second scoring option. And so right now you're kind of in the dog days, and they're going to have to get over that hump because we don't talk about Toronto. Nobody talks about the Raptors, and they might be, I mean, they're statistically, by record, the best team in the East right now, but they legitimately, top to bottom, are probably the best team in the Eastern Conference with about 30 games to go.
Mark Kessler, your voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio with us here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You mentioned the Celtics not having a second score. Should they have made a play for Tyreek Evans at the trade deadline as we heard about, or do you think they're waiting for Gordon Hayward to come back later in the year?
Yeah, you know, I was surprised. I was talking with my buddy who does the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine, yesterday on his talk show, and he was surprised that Tyreek wasn't moved to anywhere, and especially Boston. I just, you know, I get the sense that the Celtics still, as good as they've been and getting to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they're still ahead of pace. They're still positioned so well over the next few years that, you know, I'm not sure that whatever, I didn't get privy to what it would have taken to get him here. I just think Danny Ainge is going to roll with what he has. No one knows. That's the great wild card out there. We keep hearing, you know, Gordon Hayward, he's not going to play till next season. But, you know, the more you see him rehab, and, you know, we haven't really had a good look at him since, I think it was a few weeks ago, I was at Golden State, and he was on the road trip when they played in Los Angeles against the Clippers, and, you know, he's standstill shooting. You know, they're not going to give us any indication if he's coming back or not, but he might. You never know. He could get healthy in time and, you know, play a few games before the postseason and maybe get in there, kind of like Paul George a few years ago where, you know, they looked like there was no way he was going to be able to play at all till the following season. So I just think they're positioned so well. You got to think the young guys are going to get that second, you know, second wind. And for whatever reason, the Tyreek Evans thing didn't work out. You know, they're hoping maybe they found something in a different part of their game for Greg Monroe. I'm not sure, you know, what he can offer them except, you know, some decent bench scoring. But there's no runaway team. As good as the Raptors and maybe the Cavaliers are now, there's no runaway team, and maybe Danny Ainge just feels that he's going to roll with these guys.
You know, the Isaiah Thomas story is one that I just feel bad about. I just feel bad for. Here's this guy that we all loved last year, and he gives up, you know, he plays through personal tragedy, he gives up his body for the Celtics, and it ends up getting him traded twice, and he's going to cost himself a bunch of money in free agency, all because of a selfless act to play for the Celtics last year in the playoffs. What do you just make of the IT situation? Am I being too sensitive to it, or hey, it's just a business?
No, well, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it is just a business, but I think all of us, and especially Celtics fans, you got to feel for the guy, like you said, playing through injury, playing through personal tragedy. Who in their right mind could have seen the Kyrie Irving trade as a possibility? Who thought Kyrie would want out? And then who thought the Cavaliers would trade him to Boston? And then he gets to Cleveland, and obviously it takes till January before he can get going, and it's not really even a fair sample size of 15 games, but something just wasn't clicking. And not even just on the floor, off the floor. And a lot of that had to do with the Cavaliers not playing well, and, you know, maybe some fingers starting to point, and then, you know, the media every day trying to dig and find something. Why does this team just look like they're completely listless? And he got caught up in the middle of that. And look, in the end, maybe it can work out for him. This wasn't going to work in Cleveland. I mean, we talked about every possible scenario the week before the trade deadline, and one of them was, do you think they could move IT? And it was like, well, you know, who would want to take him? And you know, you're never thinking about buyouts and contracts that are ending. And so it made perfect sense when he gets to Los Angeles you know, that they're looking to clear cap space for next year. So maybe being in L.A. with a young team, with no pressure of the postseason, he can get fully healthy, because I'm still not sure he's at 100% yet, and he could show what he can do so he can get a decent contract. You know, I don't think that Max Brinks truck contract is coming, you know, for him, unfortunately, just bad timing. And, you know, the guy has had to overcome so much, you know, professionally in his career just to get where he is. So I think, yeah, you do feel for a guy like that, but there's just, it was just bad timing, bad place, and the Cavaliers having a horrific 6 weeks that he got caught up in.
Kessie, we'll get you out of here on this. Last time we had you on, we asked you, what are some sports you haven't called that you would like to? This time I'll amend the question. I'm all into the Winter Olympics. If you could call one Winter Olympic sport, what would it be? Moguls, downhill skiing, what would it be?
You know, first comes to mind is curling.
Yeah.
Because that looks kind of fun. And, you know, if it's radio, you could probably get descriptive as, I don't even know what they call it, the rock, whatever.
I think whatever it is the rock.
Called. I think it might be. I haven't watched enough Olympics this year to know. I'm always amused when Al Troutwig calls the biathlon or the 10K, you know, cross-country skiing, because he kind of makes it exciting. And I'm how do you do that with that sport? I probably wouldn't be a good figure skating announcer. I think it'd have to go with curling, because I think that could be a lot of fun. I would like to be the preeminent curling announcer for Uzbekistan TV. I think I got a shot for that one.
Mark Kestis, your voice of NBA on ESPN Radio. Mark, we'll appreciate the time as always, and we'll look to talk to you again as the playoffs only just a couple months away.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Brady.
There you go. Kesty, stopping on by. Look at right off the bat. How you doing, Kesty? How you doing?
You know, he's from Albany, so he and I go back.
Wow. Dropping names and everything. Is everybody from Albany?
Something Arnie's never done.
Yeah, is everybody from Albany? I just want to know.
Mark Kestisher, Joe Tessitore.
Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis.
Wow.
Jimmer Fredette.
Now, you notice the play-by-play guys don't have to live in Bristol, right? They can just...
He lives in Bristol because he does studio broadcasts also.
Okay. Because there's some of them, like, what's-his-face still lives in the Syracuse area.
Well, that narrows it down.
The play-by-play guy from ESPN, I forget his name.
What's-his-face?
Yeah, what's-his-face? Oh, he's a
How
big
many people
guy.
Are there in Syracuse?
Dan Shulman,
yeah, Dan
John Shambi.
Dan Shulman lives in the Syracuse area. No?
He's from Toronto. I don't know where he lives, but he's from Toronto.
Who's the one from the damn Syracuse? God, I'm just calling everything
wrong
today.
You're just throwing stuff out
on
the show
tonight.
No,
one of them was still living in the Syracuse area.
Mike Tirico. He was at ESPN for a while.
What's his name? Every play.
I thought he lives in Michigan.
See, I think he does.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
John Shambi.
No, it's not John Shambi. I wouldn't want to live in Bristol anyway. The hell with that. If I could pick anywhere, so
yeah,
it would be Syracuse. Though.
I get the feeling that all the people that work at ESPN in Bristol live all kind of in the one nice neighborhood in Bristol.
Oh, my brother lives right in Bristol. Yeah. He lives in a nice place.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a nice neighborhood in Bristol.
Oh, there is. There is, and that's only because ESPN is there. It's half the town.
We got a UVM game tonight.
Yeah.
Let's come on back. We'll get into that a little bit. Also, Damian Woody has a response to Lane Johnson. A few things to get to right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, got a little UVM. New Hampshire.
What is that?
This is my New Hampshire accent. Is that offensive, by the way, if I do a New Hampshire?
Oh, I know. Well, everything else
it could be. Yep. It could very well be.
New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Like that truck ad that ran over a fish and now it's offensive to fish?
It was in the commercial.
The truck commercial where the truck went into water.
Yeah.
And
it's offensive to fish.
It was offensive to fish because it promoted ruining aquatic habitat.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's the same type of, when I do a New Hampshire accent, that's what happens there. Any chance that New Hampshire puts up a good fight against UVM or not?
Well,
really?
They're good in the conference. I mean, they've struggled out of conference, but they're, what are they, 500 in America East?
Yeah, I would say there's a chance they put up a fight because they've got some players that can play down low. When you look at Tanner Leisner down low, well, I'm not as high on him as maybe his end of the season awards because he does get a lot of points, but I find him inefficient and, you know, he's a bruiser down there. He misses a lot of tough, you know, he misses a lot of easy shots, but he'll get points. It's just a question of how many shots does it take him to get there. I think they can stay in the game. And UVM has been down double digits in the first half each of the last two games, and they've had to come back. Now, if that continues, then even if they win the game, it's going to require a comeback where they don't win by a whole lot. The other alternative is they come out and whitewash them early, and they win by 40 because John Becker said they need to play with urgency. I think it's going to be a good game. I think UVM wins by double figures, 79-66.
There's somewhere along the way here is a game where they're just not going to have it. There's got to be one.
Only
somewhere.
Five left.
I'm not talking about the, you know, I'm not saying they'll lose that game, but maybe this was it. The last two games, the UMass Lowell game certainly was that way. They were down.
They were down like big time
at Albany.
They were down 17 against Albany. Yeah. I think they were down 13 against UMass Lowell.
They'll have to play Albany in the quarter or the semifinals in the tournament this year if Albany has the number 4 seed.
And that would not be good.
Yeah, you'd rather avoid that.
Well, Albany could still go up to number 3 seed. They're like a half game behind Hartford, so
it's funny.
Still plenty left.
We're almost in a situation now where we want Albany to just start winning to be the number 2 seed.
Or 3 seed doesn't make a difference at that point, 2 or 3.
I was in Sefke Arena when Albany was the 4 and they beat UVM. Yeah. That was the 1. Now, that game was played in Albany because the conference used to do it very weird. But so it's not like that anymore. But I was there when the 4 seed Albany beat the 1 seed UVM.
Yeah, it always used to be in Delaware at the Bob Carpenter Center. Coach Brennan used to be like, I can't believe it. We just went, you know, 11-3 or whatever in the conference, and we've got to get on a bus and drive to Newark, Delaware to play in the tournament as a high seed.
And as we mentioned earlier, UVM getting a one top 25 vote. We think it's from John Feinstein, though.
Yep.
Yes, we guarantee you it is.
We're pretty sure that's who it came from there. There's no chance UVM gets a large bid if they don't win their conference tournament. We talked about that last year in nauseam. And it didn't quite happen. But you never, hey, look, again, you never know, having another great year. And what time is the game? 7 o'clock tip-off right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And John Becker said, you know, I think it was a good point they brought up the other day, and I've said it 100 times in this show, can we just enjoy this? Just enjoy the ride. I mean, this reminds me a little bit of the way it was, although the women's team back in the Sherry Turnbull years won literally every game, out of conference, in conference, 2 years in a row, back-to-back undefeated seasons. And Patrick was just crazy, and they were appreciative of it, and everybody thought it was the coolest thing. Now it just seems like everybody's kind of taking it for granted. They didn't sell out the Lowell game, which is unbelievable to me, on a non-weather-related problem sort of Sunday. So I don't know what it's going to take, but the thing is, I just wish everybody could just sort of, because it's not always going to be like this.
No. Nope. The biggest thing for UVM now is Anthony Lamb coming back.
Yeah,
that's what I want to think about.
Any reports on that or no?
Well,
still got the boot, doesn't he, over on the bench?
They had said he would be out for 6 to 8 weeks. That was on December 27th.
So
February 27th would be 8 weeks.
February what?
February 27th would be 8 weeks.
Which is 2 weeks from now.
We are in week 6. So if that time frame holds up,
8 weeks,
then he would be back, you know, he would be eligible to be back right around March 1st.
You would have to be out of a boot right now, though, and shooting around and running on a treadmill to be back in 2 weeks, would you not? Or you can't do that all in a week.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing I wonder is, even if he does come back, what do they do with him? Do they start him? Do they bring him off the bench?
They never lose.
Does he play 7 minutes a game? Does he play 17 minutes a game?
If you're going to bring him back, he better be ready to roll. You're not going to bring him back slowly.
Yeah, but they've been so good. Kind of like this. Think about this with the Celtics. We all want Gordon Hayward to come back.
Right.
But if Gordon Hayward comes back, what does that do to Tatum and Brown, these other guys who have developed roles?
Right. But those guys are hitting the wall, so we love that they're coming back. But remember, UVM's doing it against, you know, the scrubs in the America East. So, you know, let's – hey, by the way, Purdue, we didn't know that Purdue was that great. Look what they've done this year. I know a little bit of a different team in Swearingers. Whatever happened to him? Did he
– He got drafted.
I know that, but did he hang on or what? I don't even know, but – look at the team they have now. They're like
Swanigan?
Swanigan, yeah. They're like a top 4 team right now.
Say, who the hell is Swearinger?
Yeah, close enough, man. Give me a break.
Actually, that's quite a ways off.
Yeah. Oh, come on. That's close enough.
But you got the S right.
Look how good Purdue is this year. Yeah. They may be a possible number 1 seed. That's
crazy.
And
it's funny because Kentucky is not that great,
no,
as it turns
horrible.
Out.
I told you.
Remember the build-up saying we're going to beat a top 5 team in the
nation. I told you they were horrible this year.
Which it's so hard to tell what Kentucky is because the whole team is freshmen. You never have any idea what they're going to be.
They're hit a rough patch.
Swanigan plays for the G League affiliate of the Portland Trailblazers.
Wow. A little surprise there when people were hanging on there. So
he was, man, remember him in that game last year? Talking about taking it over.
By the way, the latest projections had UVM taking West Virginia on.
Oh.
Yesterday was Arizona.
Bob Huggins.
In the first round. both good. I mean, West Virginia would be a good matchup also. I would love to see that against Bob Huggins.
I wouldn't want to see that. I don't want to see him against Press Virginia.
Yeah, they're a little too much for you. Though you could, you know, I love teams that press, but you break the press. One thing to do, you punish those teams by going to the bucket. If you don't go to the bucket, then you're in big trouble.
Look, West Virginia has been a team that's lost before. I want to say they lost to Stephen F. Austin a few years ago when Stephen F. Austin had their run.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also a team that could go from a 5 seed to all the way to the Final Four just because of the defense that they play. I'll pass on that. I'd rather play on your Arizona.
Yeah, that'd kill me. I would go to that game, though. I would like to.
Would you wear Catamount gear?
What are you cheering for in that one?
I would go to that game. I would go check that. I went to Arizona. Look, spent the best 8 years of my life in college. What do you?
Yeah, tell
what
me
do you want from me, man? My parents spent good money for me to pass out drunk there. What's
probably
wrong with
still
you?
Still are.
There? I mean, geez, that's a lot of money. I got to go ahead and show a little bit of loyalty, do I not? And Brady, you brought me a University of Arizona hat. So
and you never wear it.
I only wear it. That's my good hat.
Oh,
I only wear that on Fridays and Saturdays.
I was going to say because I haven't seen you wear it in forever.
I do wear it on Friday and Saturday nights. But that's like my go out hat. I don't like.
Speaking of clothing, our not so modest co-host here is wearing a shirt that says "Stud" on the back of it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that shirt.
It's Mike Studd, who's a musical artist.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Still not a big fan of that shirt.
Why?
I mean, how do you walk around?
Yeah.
How pretentious.
Hey, Stud!
A guy Stud! Walking around with a name Stud on his back.
It's like a jersey. He was a former college baseball player. So it's
nobody knows that.
I'm telling you that.
Idiot. Yeah. He's wearing the word Stud on his shirt.
With a White Sox hat on.
Talk about an ego. Yeah.
We've done this before.
Yeah, but that was a year ago. He doesn't remember that.
Our audience knows.
That was a whole year ago. Come on.
Our audience knows. By the way, I was hanging out with the people at Gym Sports in the mall yesterday.
Nice.
And they said, Arnie gives you way too much grief. Don't let him do that to you. And I said, I won't. So there you go.
They're fighting back.
Yeah, I'll go.
That's a great place, by the way. I just want to say.
I'll go talk to them real quick.
Straighten them out. Yeah, you're going to go to a mall.
I'll go straighten them out. Last story standing. Guess how much it's going to cost you for Lonzo's autograph and where you can get it. We'll have that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go let Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, if you're in Los Angeles, actually near the Puente Hills Mall, big mall out there, Puente Hills Mall. Outside of Los Angeles, Lonzo Ball is going to be out there. Big ad.
That's great.
He will be signing autographs for only $199 per item. Even some non-sanctioned items. Oh, and by the way, if you want to get them, what's the word I'm looking for to like Beckett's to authenticate?
You want to get them authenticated?
Authenticated. Extra $10. Extra $10 on that. So yeah, $199 is not enough. But we'll give it for an extra $10, then we'll throw that into.
For an injured 23-year-old basketball player who averages, 6 points a game?
Let me make this clear. There'll be a line around the block.
Isn't that sad?
There'll be a line around the block, like a two-hour wait to get this guy's autograph. So don't sit there and make fun.
Yeah. Of course not.
They can't wait to all dish over $200. That bothers me. I hate when players sell their autographs. If you don't want them to be resold and other people making money, then all you do is say, to Brady, to Arnie, to Rich, best wishes, Lonzo, and then I can't sell it to anybody, and then everybody's happy. So, you know, I don't understand
why. I thought charging exorbitant amounts for autographs was something that retired veteran players do.
Yeah, not people that are second round picking the draft.
Depends. The only thing I'd want to know is any of this money going to charity or anything?
That's a good point.
That's the only thing.
Where it's going.
That's the only thing I'd want to know.
Unbelievable. So $199 to get Lonzo to sign a pair of shoes or a picture or something like that.
Only in L.A.
Well, don't think that other people wouldn't get, you know, charge that much and get it all. So trust me on that.
You think Lonzo Ball is as big if he's playing for Charlotte?
Oh, no.
I mean,
no.
It's all about LA.
Of course. There's no doubt about that. Brady, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Well, I'm going to tell you how Bill Belichick and Brad Stevens are alike, and then I'm going to tell you about Jason Belmonte, professional bowler.
Wow.
He's going to join the show.
You know what?
He's an Australian professional bowler.
Just stick around for a half hour today. Just do 6 to 6.30.
And then do 2 hours and a half of UVM
No, you don't even have to do that. Just stick around for 6 to 6.30.
Hope the ads run by themselves.
And then go home.
You're actually going to do UVM.
Champlain Valley. Yeah, I'll stick around. I'll do it. Champlain Valley game night. Coming up next right here. For Brady, for Rich, and for our new intern.
Alec.
We'll be back tomorrow right here on 101.3 ESPN.